Chapter 14. Cargo did not need light or fresh air. It did not gray out during high G accelerations, nor did it suffer ringing ears every time it shot through a grav control halo. Cargo did not feel its gorge rise when the transfer tunnels took an unseen turn, and did not grow dizzy with dehydration as it sailed through the stifling heat of a repulsor-driven freight handling system. But Ben did. And that made the journey from the water intake plant a real test of endurance and courage. For what seemed an hour, Ben sailed through the sweltering cargo tube, lurching and turning through the darkness, consumed by his growing fear for Vistara. He could only imagine the agony she would suffer at the hands of her Sith captors, the punishment she would endure for killing so many of her own kind, especially High Lord Talon and her father. But it was more than just fear eating at him. It was anger, too. Everyone had been so fast to blame Vistara for the ambush, and no one faster than Corran Horn. Considering how his own children had betrayed the Jedi while under Abeloth's control back on Namchereos, Master Horn ought to have known better than to pass judgment based on nothing but a guess. Vistara deserved better than that. A spine-jamming deceleration jerked Ben's thoughts back to his own situation, and he felt the air stir ahead as a freight canister sped through an unseen intersection just centimeters from his head. He hung there, motionless for a few moments, listening to surprised groans and involuntary grunts echoing through the passage as his five companions endured their own sudden stops and unexpected accelerations. Then he felt his face beginning to stretch as he shot forward again, and once more he was flying helplessly through the darkness. The worst part was the control rings. Every 100 meters, Ben would pass through one of the repulsor lift control rings that lined the shaft. If he was lucky, the ring would be on standby, and he would suffer only a moment of unpleasant queasiness as he passed through a wafer-thin anti-gravity field. But as he approached an active ring, a crashing roar would fill the tunnel. There would be a moment of silence as he passed through, then an excruciating pop deep inside his ears, followed by a maddening ringing that made his whole head ache. So far, Ben had passed through 15 active rings and endured more twists and turns than he could track. His stomach felt like he had been practicing wingovers with a deactivated inertial compensator, and he was so thirsty that he was almost ready to start sucking the sweat out of his own robes. And he had no idea how much longer the journey would last, or what they would find when they finally reached the computer interface located at the other end. Ben felt his stomach flutter as he passed through an inactive control ring. Then the muffled thump of a shifting guidance door sounded in the darkness ahead. A moment later, his spine bent backwards as he was drawn upward into a vertical shaft. A cloud of blue light appeared above his head and rapidly brightened into a reflection on the interior wall of another bend in the tube. This one back to the horizontal. Ben barely managed to spin around before passing through a final pair of control rings. He decelerated so hard his kidneys ached, and then he was spat out of the freight tunnel and dropped onto the padded bed of a receiving bench. A bar of brilliant white light appeared a few centimeters ahead and started to glide along the pad toward Ben. He rolled away, only to find himself trapped on his side, his back pressed against the guide rail on the far side of the bench. The beam swept across his face, bright and blinding as it shone into his eyes, then continued toward his feet. As his vision began to clear, Ben saw that the light was being projected from a saucer-shaped silhouette sitting atop the squat, blocky torso of an STK-CLR stock-keeping droid.